11. Miles stood by the railing and lit his cigar. He puffed on it a few times to get it going, then slowly released a stream of pungent smoke from between his lips.
"They've been spotted, boss,"
Tarson said as he walked up. Tarson's arm was in a sling. Most men would still be in bed after taking a shot like he had, but Tarson was a pewter arm, and Kolos blooded. He'd heal quickly.
"Where?"
Miles asked, looking down and surveying the setup of the new hideout. Besides Tarson, the only one up here with him was Clamps, third in command.
"They're at the old foundry," Tarson said.
He was still wearing Wayne's hat.
"We're talking to the beggars there."
"Should have dumped a lot of them in the canal,"
Clamps grumbled, scratching at the scar on his neck.
"I'm not going to start killing beggars, Clamps,"
Miles said softly. He wore a pair of aluminum revolvers. They gleamed in the electric lights of the large chamber.
"You'd be surprised at how quickly something like that can backfire. Turn the city's underclass against us, and all kinds of inconvenient information will find its way to the constables."
"Yeah, sure," Clamps said.
"Of course. But I mean, those beggars. They saw things, boss." "Wax would have figured it out regardless," Miles said. "He is like a rat. Wherever you least wish him to be, there you will find him. In a way that makes him predictable. I assume your explosive traps, foolproof though you promised they would be, were ineffective?"
Clamps coughed into his hand.
"Pity," Miles said.
He took his silver lighter, still in his hand from lighting the cigar, and put it back in his pocket. It bore the seal of the lawkeepers of Drumadil. It made the other men uncomfortable to see that. Miles kept it anyway. The space before them was completely windowless. Big, glaring electric lights hung from the ceiling, and men were setting up forging and casting equipment. Miles was skeptical. A foundry below the ground? But Mr. Suit promised that his ducts and electric fans would pull the smoke away and circulate the air. It helped that there was a lot less smoke with the electric furnaces they'd be using down here. This room was very curious. A large tunnel led off into darkness on the left side of the chamber, and railway tracks were set into it. The beginnings, Mr. Suit said, of an underground railway line in the city. How would it cut through the canals? It would have to run under them, he guessed. A strange image. As of now, that tunnel was only a test. It led a short distance to a large wooden building where Miles could quarter the rest of his men. He had another 30 or so. At the moment, they were bringing in boxes of supplies and what was left of their aluminum. There wasn't much. In one blow, Wax had all but upended the vanishers. Miles puffed on his cigar, thoughtful. As always, he was drawing upon his gold mind, invigorating himself, refreshing his body. He never felt sick, never lacked energy. He still had to sleep, and he still grew old, but other than that, he was practically immortal, so long as he had enough gold. That was the problem, though, wasn't it? Smoke curled in front of him, twisting upon itself like the mists.
"Boss?" Clamps asked. "Mr. Suit is waiting. Aren't you going to go meet with him?"
Miles blew out smoke.
"In a moment."
Suit did not own him.
"How is recruitment, Clamps?"
I'll need more time. One day ain't enough, especially following half of us getting slaughtered."
"Watch your tone," Miles said.
"Sorry."
"Wax was bound to enter the game eventually," Miles said softly. "He changes the rules. And it is true that we lost far more men than I would have liked. We are fortunate at the same time, however. Now that Waxillium has entered, we can anticipate him."
"Boss,"
Tarson said, leaning in.
"There's talk among the men. That you and Wax, that you two set us all up.
He cringed back as if expecting a violent reaction. Miles puffed on his cigar and managed to contain his initial burst of anger. He was getting better at that. A little.
Why would they say that? You were once a lawkeeper and all.
I still am, Miles said.
What we do, it is not outside the law, not the true law. Oh, the rich will make their own codes, will force us to live by them. But our law is the law of humanity itself. Men who work for me, they are given the dispensation of reform. Their work here washes away their previous infractions. Tell them I am proud of them, Clamps. I realize we've been through something traumatic, but we did survive. We will face tomorrow with greater strength.
I'll tell him, boss, Clamps said.
Miles covered a grimace. He couldn't decide if the words were the right ones or not. He wasn't meant for preaching, but the men needed conviction from him, so conviction he would display.
15 years, he said softly.
Boss?
15 years I spent out in the roughs, trying to protect the weak. And you know what? It never got better. All that effort, it meant nothing. Children still died, women were still abused. One man wasn't enough to change things, not with the corruption here at the heart of civilization.
He took a puff on his cigar.
If we're going to change things, we need to change them here first. And Trell help me if I'm wrong. Why had Trell made men like him, if not to see wrongs righted?
The words of founding had even included a lengthy explanation of Trellism and its teachings, which proved men like Miles were special. He turned and moved along the walkway. It hung like a balcony on the north side of the large chamber. Tarson and Clamps stayed behind. They knew he liked to be alone when he faced Mr. Suit. Miles pulled open the door at the end of the walk and entered Mr. Suit's office. Why he needed an office here, Miles didn't know. Perhaps he'd be keeping a closer eye on operations at this new base. Mr. Suit had wanted them here from the beginning. It annoyed Miles that he'd finally had to accept the offer. It put him more closely under his backer's thumb.
Enough good robberies and we won't need him any longer, Miles told himself. Then we can move somewhere else.
Mr. Suit was a round-faced man with a full, gray-streaked beard. He sat at his desk sipping a cup of tea and wearing an extremely stylish and expensive suit of black silk, with a turquoise vest. As Miles entered, he was studying a broadsheet.
You know I don't like the smell of those, Mr. Suit said without looking up.
Miles puffed his cigar anyway. Mr. Suit smiled.
Did I hear that your old friend has already located your previous base of operations?
Men were captured, Miles said simply. It was only a matter of time.
They aren't very loyal to your cause.
Miles had no response to that. They both knew that most of his men worked for the money, and not for any greater purpose.
Do you know why I like you, Miles? Mr. Suit asked.
I don't particularly care if you do or not, Miles thought, but held his tongue.
You're careful, Mr. Suit continued. You have a goal. You believe in it. But you don't let it cloud your vision. In fact, your cause is not so different from that of my associates and me. I think it is a worthy goal, and you a worthy leader.
Mr. Suit turned over his broadsheet.
The shootings at the last robbery threatened to undermine my confidence in that assessment. You lost your temper, Mr. Suit said, voice growing cold. And you therefore lost control of your men. That is why this disaster occurred. There was no other reason. Yes, there was. Waxillium Ladrian. You should have been ready for him. He wasn't supposed to be there.
Mr. Suit sipped his tea.
Come now, Miles. You wore a mask on your face. You knew there was a chance he'd come.
I wore a mask, Miles said, keeping his temper with some effort, because I am a man of some renown. Wax wasn't the only one who could have recognized me.
A valid point, I suppose. But then, with how dramatic you insist on being, cargo that vanishes rather than just being stolen, it makes me wonder why you avoid being recognized.
The drama serves a purpose, Miles snapped. I've told you. So long as the police are baffled by how we're getting the cargo, it will keep them making mistakes.
And the drama?
Suit said idly, turning over a newspaper on his desk.
The Vanishers, Miles?
He said nothing. He'd explained his reasons before, the ones he let Suit know of. There was more to it, of course. He needed to be dramatic, needed to capture the public's attention. Miles was out to change the world. You couldn't do that if people thought of you as common thieves. Mystery, power, a pinch of magic, that could work wonders for his cause.
No comment, Suit said. Well, your reasoning has proven valid in the past, except when it comes to Waxillium. I'll admit, Miles, that part of me wonders. Is there some ancient grudge between the two of you I should be aware of? Something that, perhaps, would have caused you to act recklessly?
Mr. Suit's eyes were as cold as iron.
Something that would have made you try to goad him into attacking during that party? So you could fight him?
Miles held that gaze, then leaned down, hands on the table, fingers gripping his cigar.
I have no grudge against Waxillium Ladrian. He is one of the finest men this world has known. A finer man than you or I, or practically anyone else in this city.
And this is supposed to comfort me. You all but say that you won't fight him.
Oh, I'll fight him. Kill him if I have to. Wax chose the wrong side. Men like him, men like me, we have a choice. Serve the people or serve the wealthy. He abandoned his right to protection the moment he returned to this city and started mingling with them.
Curious, Suit said. I'm also one of them, you know.
I work with what I have. And besides, you have other things recommending you, especially since you did renounce your claim to privilege.
Not to privilege, Suit said. Merely to title. And I still think you intended to provoke Waxillium. That's why you shot Peterus.
I shot Peterus because he was an impostor, Miles snapped. He pretended to seek justice and everyone praised him for it, but all the while he was pandering to the elite and the corrupt. In the end, they let him come play at their parties like a favored dog. I put him down.
Mr. Suit nodded slowly.
Very well.
I will clean this city up, Suit. Even if I have to rip out its blackened heart with my fingernails, I'll do it. But you're going to need to get me more aluminum.
I am setting things in motion, Suit said.
He opened a drawer in his desk and took out a rolled sheet of paper. He set it in front of Miles. Miles took off the string and unrolled the paper. Schematics.
Tekiel's new unrobbable freight car?
Suit nodded.
It will take time to, Miles began.
I've had people working on this for some time now. Your job is not the planning, Miles. Your job is the execution. I will see that you have the resources you need.
Miles looked over the blueprint. Suit was connected. powerful. Miles couldn't help feeling that he'd gotten himself entangled in something far beyond his control. "My men are still holding the latest captive," he said. "What do you want done with her?"
"That will be arranged," Suit said.
He took a sip of his tea.
"If I had been paying closer attention, I would have removed that one from the list. Waxillium will not stop seeking her. It would have been so much easier if the explosion had worked. Now we must contemplate more direct action."
"I'll deal with him personally," Miles said. "Today." Miles Dugate is twin-born, Waxillium said, leaning forward in their train car. "A particularly dangerous variety of twin-born."
"Double gold,"
Wayne said with a nod, reclining on the cushioned bench opposite Waxillium. Outside, the outer suburbs of Ellendale passed in a blur. Marcy sat on the bench near Wayne.
"Gold allomancers aren't particularly dangerous from what I've read."
"No," Waxillium said, "they aren't. But it's the compounding that makes Miles so powerful. If your allomancy and ferrochemy share a metal, you can access its power tenfold. It's complicated. You store an attribute inside the metal, then burn it to release the power. It's called compounding. By the legends, it's the way the sliver gained immortality." Marcy frowned.
"I'd assumed stories of Miles's extraordinary healing abilities to be exaggerations. I assumed he was just a bloodmaker, like Wayne."
"Oh, he's a bloodmaker, all right,"
Wayne said, spinning a dueling cane around his wrist and catching it again.
"Except he doesn't ever run out of health."
Waxillium nodded, thinking back to years ago when he'd first met Miles. The man had always made him uncomfortable, but he'd also been an excellent lawkeeper. For the most part. Noting Marcy's confused look, Waxillium explained, "Normally a ferrochemist has to be sparing. It can take months to store up health or weight. I've been walking around at half weight since breaking us through the floor trying to recover some of what I expended. I've barely filled my metal mind to a fraction of what I lost. It's even harder for Wayne." Wayne wiped his nose.
"I'll have to spend a few weeks in bed after this, feeling wretched. Of course I'll be unable to heal myself. Hell, I'm already storing as much as I can and still move about normally. By the end of the day, I'll barely have enough to heal a scratch."
"But Miles?" Marcy said.
"Near infinite healing ability," Waxillium said. "The man's virtually immortal. I heard he once took a shotgun blast to the face point blank and walked away from it. We worked together out in the roughs. He was the lawkeeper over in Trumadil. There were three of us that had a kind of alliance going during the good years. Miles, me, and John Deadfinger, from Far Dorist."
"Miles doesn't like me much," Wayne noted.
"Well,
neither of them do, actually."
"Miles did good work," Waxillium said, "but he was judgmental and harsh. We respected one another, though mostly from a distance. I wouldn't call us friends. But out in the roughs, anyone who stands up for what is right is an ally."
"It's the first law of the roughs," Wayne said. "The more alone you are, the more you need a man you can trust at your side."
"Even if their methods go beyond what you'd choose yourself," Waxillium said.
"He doesn't sound like the type to take up a life of crime," Marcy said.
"No," Waxillium said softly, "he doesn't. But I was almost certain it was him behind the mask at the wedding, and that box of cigars, they're his favorites. I can't be sure it's him, but..."
"But you think it is?"
Waxillium nodded. "Harmony help us, but I do." Lawkeepers were a special alloy. There was a code. Never give in, never let yourself be tempted. Working with criminals day in, day out could change a man. You began to see things the way they did. You started to think like them. They all knew this job could twist you if you weren't careful. They didn't speak of it, and they didn't give in. Or they weren't supposed to.
"I'm not surprised," Wayne said. Did you ever hear how he spoke of people in Ellendale Wax? He's a brutal man, Miles is.
Yes, Waxillium said softly. I hoped he'd stay focused on keeping order in his town and let his demons slumber. The train passed beyond the suburbs, heading out into the outer estates, the broad ring of orchards, fields, and pastures that fed Ellendale. The landscape changed from city blocks to open expanses of tan and green, the canals shimmering blue as they cut the land.
"Does this change things?" Marcy asked.
"Yes," Waxillium said. "It means all this is far more dangerous than I'd thought."
"Delightful,"
Wayne grinned.
"Well, we wanted you to have the full experience, you know, for science and all."
"Actually," Waxillium said, "I've been thinking of how best to send you someplace safe."
"You want to be rid of me?" she asked.
She widened her eyes to look heartbroken, her voice softening in a pitiful kind of betrayed way. He was half tempted to think she'd been learning from Wayne.
"I thought I was being of help to you."
"You are," Waxillium said. "But you also have little practical experience in what we are doing."
"A woman must gain experience somehow," she said, lifting her head. "I've already survived a kidnapping and an assassination attempt."
The doors of the passenger car rattled as they rounded a bend.
"Yes, but Lady Marcy, the presence of a twin-born on the other side changes things. If it comes to a fight, I don't think I can defeat Miles. He's crafty, powerful, and determined. I'd rather you were somewhere safe."
"Where?"
she asked.
"Any of your estates would be obvious, as would those of my father. I can't very well hide in the underground of the city. I highly doubt I'd be inconspicuous there. I hasten to suggest that the safest place for me is near you."
"Odd," Wayne said. "I usually find the safest places in life are everywhere but near Wax. Have I mentioned the likelihood of explosions?"
"Perhaps we should just go to the constables," Marcy said. "Lord Waxillium, this kind of private investigation is technically illegal, at least insofar as we have important facts that the constables don't. We are required to bring what we know to the authorities."
"Don't get him thinking," Wayne said. "I was just starting to get him to stop saying stuff like that."
"It's all right, Wayne," Waxillium said softly. "I've made a promise. I told Lord Harms I'd return Steris to him. And I will. That is that."
"Then I will remain and help," Marcy said. "That is that."
"And I could really use some food," Wayne added. "Fat is fat."
"Wayne," Waxillium said.
"I'm serious," Wayne said. "Ain't had nothing to eat since those scones."
"We'll get something at our stop," Waxillium said. "First, I would like to know something from Lady Marcy."
"Yes?"
"Well, assuming you are to remain with us, I'd like to know what kind of allomancer you are." Wayne sat up with a start.
"Huh?"
Marcy blushed. "You carry a pouch of metal shavings in your handbag," Waxillium said, "and you are always anxious to keep the handbag close. You know little about ferrochemy, but seem to understand allomancy. You weren't surprised when Wayne stopped time in a bubble around us. In fact, you stepped right up to the barrier, as if familiar with them. And you come from a hereditary line that is being hunted precisely because it includes a lot of allomancers."
"I," she said. "Well, there really wasn't a good opportunity."
She blushed more furiously.
"I'm surprised and a little disappointed," Wayne said.
"Well," she said quickly, "I..."
"Oh, it's not at you," Wayne said. "At Wax. I'd have expected that he'd put this sort of thing together on your first meeting."
"I'm growing slow in my old age," Waxillium said dryly.
"It's not really very useful," she said, looking down. "When I saw Wayne using his slider ability, I started to get self-conscious. You see, I'm a pulser."
As he'd suspected. "I think that could be very useful."
"Not really," she said. "Speeding up time? That is amazing. But what can one do with slowing it down? And only for myself." It's useless in a fight. Everyone else would move with great speed around me. My father was ashamed of the power, told me to keep it quiet, much like my parentage.
Your father, Waxillium said, is someone that I'm increasingly certain is a fool. You have access to something useful. No, it won't fit every situation, but no tool does.
If you say so, she said.
A merchant came down the train aisle, selling pretzels, and Wayne all but leaped out of his chair to get one. Waxillium settled back, looking out the window, thinking. Miles. No, he couldn't be sure it was him. When Waxillium had shot the Vanisher boss in the face and dropped him, he'd assumed that he'd mistaken the voice. Miles wouldn't drop to a gunshot. Unless he'd known that he had to feign a wound, lest Waxillium recognize him. Miles was crafty enough for something like that. It is him, Waxillium thought. He'd known it from the first time the Vanisher boss had spoken. He just hadn't wanted to admit it. This complicated things immensely, and, oddly, Waxillium found himself feeling overwhelmed. 20 years as a lawkeeper, and this situation was already messier than any he'd investigated. He'd assumed that the roughs made him strong, but there'd also been a simplicity to life out there, a simplicity he'd gotten used to. Now he came charging in, guns raised, assuming he could handle a problem built on Ellendale's scale. He assumed he could take down a team that was so well-funded it could field men with guns made of something so expensive it might as well have been gold. Maybe we should take it to the constables, Marcy had said. But could he? He fingered the earring in his pocket. He'd felt that Harmony wanted him to do this, to investigate. But what was Harmony but an impression in Waxillium's mind? Confirmation bias, they called it. He felt what he expected to. That was what his logical brain said. He fingered the earring. I wish I could feel the mists, he thought. It's been weeks since I've been able to go out in them. He always felt stronger in the mists. He felt like someone was watching when he was out in them. I have to continue with this, he told himself. He'd tried abstaining, and it had led to Lord Peterus being shot. Waxillium's usual method was just take command and do what needed to be done. It was the way a lawman learned to work out in the roughs. We aren't so different, Miles and I, he thought. Perhaps that was what had always frightened him so much about the man. The train slowed, pulling into their station.